Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masechet Sukkah Daf Chaf Amud Bet, beginning the second parak, Hashem Tachad Amita Basukkah. And as I mentioned previously, this parak deals with the mitzvah of Yeshivat Sukkah after the first parak presented us with the parameters and contours of Hechsher Sukkah. Hashem Tachad Amita Basukkah. If you sleep underneath a bed in a sukkah, lo yatzai dechovato. You're not yotze because you're under the bed. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and recounts that he and his fellows used to sleep underneath a bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't protest. So this is a counter story supporting the position that you are not able to fulfill the mitzvah that way. Story about Tavi, Rabbi Gamliel's trusted and wise servant, who was an Eved Kanani, who slept underneath the bed. Gamliel pointed to him and said to the elders, "Re'itam Tavi Avdi, you've seen my slave Tavi, Shu Tamid Chacham. V'yodeh Shavadim Turvin Asukah, he knows that Avadim are exempt. V'fichach Yashenu Tachan Mita, therefore he is sleeping under the bed. V'lefid Arkenu Lamanu, so we," Rabbi Shimon then adds, "understand from that, Yashenu Tachan Mita, lo yotzei dechovato, that sleeping under the bed, you're not yotzei." Okay, v'haleika sarah. First protest is sleeping under the bed. There isn't 10 tvachim from the ground to the bed, such that you would be considered to be in a separate space, and that the bed would be blocking you. So tirgam Shmuel b'mita sarah. Shmuel, as we saw in the first parak, said that this mishnah is talking about a case where the bed is 10, and this is in the sugi of sukkah tachat sukkah. Tanatam, echad chor shacharu maim o shratzim o shachalato malached v'chein nivachamanim v'chein soar shel korot mahil ala tuma. Any sort of a hole, whether it got dug out by water or by animals or salt that dug it out or an excavation, right, or a pile of wood, is mahil ala tuma. It's considered an ohel over tuma. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol ohel shein asubi de adam eno ohel. A natural ohel is not an ohel. Now my tam Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's reason for that? If ohel ohel mi mishkan, tivacha zot hatora adam kemut ba ohel, in the context of tumat mate, a person dies in an ohel. Uchtiv hatam vayfroset ha ohel ala mishkan. That Moshe spread the ohel over the mishkan. Malan bide adam v'kan v'yadam. The word ohel at the end of Shemot is referred to an ohel that's set up by a man. So therefore, the only ohel that extends for tumat mate is an ohel asui bide adam. Rabbanan ohel ohel ribat. And the Rabbanan say that the word ohel that shows up several times in the context of tumat mate is a ribui, extending it to any kind of ohel, even natural. So Yehuda kol ohel shein asubi de adam in ohel, is it true? V'minu chadzot hayu b'not b'Yerushalayim agar yasala, famous Mishnah, I put it on the top of the page. They had courtyards that were built on bedrock, v'tachteyem chalal, and underneath there was an empty cavern, nei kever hatahom, to make sure that there was no kever underneath it. M'vi'in nashimu barot v'yoldot sham, they'd bring women who were pregnant, and they would have their babies in there. And their children would be raised there in order to do the avodah of the parah, to make sure that their children were absolutely tahor. They'd bring oxen, and they had doors, like wooded boards, on top of their back. The kids would sit on top of the back. And they would have a vessel made out of stoneware, so it's not mekabel tumah. And they would walk, they would come down to the Meshiloach, Yardula Tochamayim Milum, they would go into the water, fill them up, and they went back up on top of the Shvarim, and then brought them out to Har Zeitim to use them for the Mayim for the Mechatat. He wouldn't go down, but rather he would lower it from the spot on top over the board, because of the concern there might be a kever under there. Tan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and now here's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. There were no doors like that, but rather the oxen themselves. Now, and the notion is that being on top of the oxen, and the ox's back is wide enough to be considered an ohel, is an ohel, which of course is natural, and nonetheless, so the notion here, from all of this long description, is that Rabbi Yehuda, as you can see, holds that a natural ohel is an ohel, and it blocks the tumah. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael with report in the name of Rav Lazar and Pedat, explaining this. But Rav Yehuda kimlo egrof. Rav Yehuda agrees that an ohel that is wider than a tefach, and it's the size of a fist, a full fist, Even if it's made by nature, then it's a valid ohel. It's just a ohel asuvi de'adam, only needs a tefach. But Rabbi Yehuda said that they did not bring the boards, and the boards had several egrofin. Not that they didn't bring them because they were a problem, but rather that they didn't need to bring them because the shore was big enough. They wouldn't bring boards at all. The concern is that the kid's going to be playing around and he's going to lean over and then he'll become tame from what's over that. So they kept him on top of the oxen. We have a bright to support. There were no boards at all. As we said, they brought very fat Egyptian oxen. Then again, they went back up. Okay, so that takes us back to our problem. But we have a bed, and the bed is the width of certainly several hands. We would sleep under the beds, and so you see that Rabbi Yehuda has a very large ohel that we think should certainly be chotzeitz, and he says, "Oh, you're still in the sukkah." Bed is a different story because the bed is made for sitting on top of it, and therefore being underneath it is not considered being in an ohel. A tent is made for being inside. But oxen are also there to sit on top of. So Ravin came with a different report. Oxen are so big that the shepherds will sit underneath them to get out of the sun or get out of the rain. So therefore, the oxen really are to some extent utilized for underneath. So the same thing with the bed. We put shoes and sandals underneath the bed. So that doesn't help. The oxen's body protects its own kishkas. You've covered me with bones and with sinews. In other words, the body protects itself. And therefore, the ox really is for underneath. And therefore, it is a chatzitza, unlike the bed, which is really made to sit on top of it. We go back to Rabbi Yehuda in the first parak, who said that you need a dirat keva, which is why he allows a very tall sukkah. Remember, Abaye's alignment. The mitah is a temporary piece. And the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is an ohel keva. And the rule is, a temporary ohel cannot come and interfere with a permanent ohel inside of it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, you sleep under a bed. It's more because Rabbi Yehuda's definition of what a sukkah is, therefore the bed doesn't interfere. Remember, Rabbi Shimon's the one who said you need four walls, and Abaye said that means Rabbi Shimon also says you need dirat keva. And Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah is the one who protests against Rabbi Yehuda. Vati ohel rabbi vatal ohel keva. So the answer is Bahapliki Marsavatu Keva. That's exactly the machloket. Rabbi Shimon says a temporary ohel can come and interfere with a permanent ohel, and Rabbi Yehuda says no it can't. Rabbi Shimon, Tavi Avdu. So we have the story about Tavi. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Misichatao Shel Rabbi Gamliel Amanu Shnei. We understand two things from Rabbi Gamliel's story. The Manu Shavadim Turbin Asukah, first of all, we learn Avadim are exempt. And that you're not yotze if you sleep underneath. Why does he say misichato shem gamliel? Why does he say midvarav? He's teaching us a third thing. Shimon is. That even the idle chatter of Tamnei Chachamim should be analyzed because they speak so carefully that every word is meaningful. And we get that from the pasuk about the tzaddik at the beginning of Tehillim, that his leaves never wither. And it's even the simple thing that he says has some freshness and some wisdom and something to learn from it. So that's what Rabbi Shimon taught us by saying, Misichato Shem Gamliel, even listen to his chatter, and you'll see that has a deep lesson into it. And we learn two things, that Avadim are paturim in a sukkah, and that if you sleep under a bed in a sukkah, lo yatsa yedei chovato. And with this, we've begun our study of the second parak of sukkah. We'll continue the next podcast further explorations of mitzvot, Yeshivat Sukkah. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.